family, it's joy, pleasure being amidst again here this afternoon, which the good Lord has given to us. Bring the gospel, the glad tidings. The Bible says it's for all men. So I guess that includes people in Hanley too. Good news at least anyway for sinners, but maybe perhaps you don't put yourself in that category, but if you're like the rest of us, sinner and short of God's glory, then it's good news for you. That's the only qualification, you know, to, you know, for God's salvation, God's kingdom, to be a sinner, but of course a saved one, one that embraces, one that trusts and believes, you know, in God's Son sent into the world to save sinners. It's only sinners He came for, didn't come for the self-righteous, didn't come for them that say, there's no God. Didn't come for them that say, you know, I'm okay, you know, do it myself, you know, and get by. I get by on my own, you know. And of course, that includes, by and large, majority of religious ones too. They're the worst. They're the worst, you know. Man-made religion, Meccas, Romes, and everybody else's. It's, you know, works, you know, what they do, their own righteousness, you know. And of course, well, God makes it clear, you know, that nobody gets a pass on that day when He judges us all, you know, that only those who are found in His Son, trusting in Jesus Christ, His righteousness, not yours. Because yours, God says, mine, filthy rags in His sight. That's the very best of our efforts, never mind the worst. So you want to pass in that day, you know, you want to get through those pearly gates, well then you need faith, you need to trust, you know, what God Himself has provided, not man. And what has God provided? Salvation. The Bible declares, God loves you, Christ is dead for you. He's done the work. That's why it's not by works. That's why people can't be saved by their own works, religious or otherwise. Because God's Son has done the work, everything necessary. It is a... Really? You want one?
Old Testament, New Testament?
Yeah, both of them, yeah, both. And my next question is, which one do you want? Do you want the old or the new?
New, sure.
The modern version?
Modern.
Modern, yeah. Because there's the modern and there's the old. That's the modern.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
That's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I would recommend that you start with John's Gospel. That's the best place to begin.
Sure, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Have you read
it? I've read the Old Testament,
right.
But there's reading it and then reading it.
Yep, that's right.
I've basically read it and not retained anything.
Yep.
Well, it's retained a little bit.
Well, what you're looking for, if I could recommend...
If you're looking for salvation, mate.
If you read John's Gospel and ask yourself the question, keep this question in mind, who and what is Jesus Christ? Because when you get the answer to that question, or the right one, you're home. I'll do that too. Okay, sir?
Thank you very much.
Enjoy, you're welcome. So there's an illustration, if you like, you know, God's salvation. A gentleman comes asking for the Bible, freely offered to him. He comes, asks for it, and he's given it to him. He walks away. It's his Bible. And that's the same way. That's how you receive salvation. Jesus Christ is set before you, is offered to you. He's the gift of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The gift of God, God's love gift to the world. Gave his one and only Son. Gave him up to the death of the cross to live and die and rise again from the dead. He's offered to you here today. You take him. Just the same way that man took the Bible. You take him, you take him away, he's yours. He's your Savior, your Lord. And he makes the changes. He makes the changes. He knows what needs changing. He makes them. Because you can't. You can't, you know. You can try, you can work at it, you know. But I don't know, in the past I've found, you know, the more you try, the worse it gets. You know. Because we can't do it ourselves, you know. Sin's in our DNA. It's ingrained in us. You know, Bible says we're conceived in sin. We're born in it. And we live and die in it. Unless that is the grace of God in Jesus comes to us. In the love of God changing us, you know. Transforming us by the power of God's love. But that's the gospel. This is the gospel over against religion. Religion just doesn't cut it. Religion doesn't do it. You got a world full of religion. You got a city full of religion. Doesn't do it, doesn't cut it. Doesn't make the change. Doesn't take the sin out of you. Dead religion. Dead religion can't put life into a dead soul. Because that's what you be. That's what you be, God says. Not just conceived and born in sin, but into a state, you know, of existence, deathly existence, dead in your trespasses and sins, alienated from God and from the life of God. No life in you. No life in you. Apart from God and apart from Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You say, how come? How possible? Because if you got the life of God in you, Jesus Christ, I mean, he, God is love. His name is Jesus. And he came into the world to save wretched, blind, dead, naked sinners like you and I. That's what he came for. Not to make you religious, not to make you wealthy, healthy, prosperous. Came to save sinners, and that's what he does. That's what he's been doing for more than 2,000 years, and what he's doing today all over the world. He's doing it today, places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, and everywhere else in the world today, United States of America. Men and women are having their eyes opened by the preaching of the gospel. That's what I'm doing here today. Their eyes have been opened to see and behold the Son of God and their need of him. To see the sinfulness of their sin. To see the love that they've offended. Whose law they've offended. Their maker, their lawgiver, their judge. But the one who today would be your Savior, your Redeemer, should you come to him, Jesus that is, there's no other God but him. Nobody else can save you. Only God himself can save you from your wretched state and condition and put life into your dead soul. Nobody lives. Nobody lives. Nobody experiences life until they connect with Jesus Christ. No life in you apart from him. Nothing of the blessings of God, peace, joy, love, light, all these things that God bestows upon men and women in this world and in the world to come, they get them through Christ, through Jesus, and through Jesus alone, no other. No other good enough who could open the gates of heaven and let sinners in. Only he, Jesus, spotless, sinless Son of God, who came, took our natures, became one of us, and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead. The proof, the evidence, how many sinners, that what he said and what he did is authenticated, rubber stamped, if you like, by God himself, by raising him from the dead. A seal on the deal, that is that he has conquered sin and death and hell, overcame them. So what you need is not a dead religion. What you need is not a dead prophet. What you need is a living Savior, one who has conquered, not will conquer. And through His victory, you enter into it by faith, and His victory, His conquest over sin, death, and hell becomes yours. But that's the only way. That's the only way. Jesus Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way and one way only, Jesus. So, like I say, it's God's love, not religion. It's God's love. He is love. God is love. And His name is Jesus. He is altogether love. Loves you. Bore sin, the sin of the world, in His own body on that cross, in order that you might be washed and made clean, in order that you might be reconciled to God, in order that when you close your eyes in death, open them the other side, you're not faced with the dreadful judge of all the earth, but a welcoming Savior into heaven's glory. So I said before you, the gospel, the good news, it's about a person, not a religion. It's about a person, and a person who loves everlastingly, eternally, those who come to Him. It's about a person, it's about what that person did, the work that he did, his living, his loving, his dying, and his rising again from the dead. That's not religion. This is God's love for you, Hanley sinners, every single one of you here under the sound of my voice today. So give up your efforts. Give up your religion and come to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him and you get salvation. You get life from the dead. You get life in this world and life for the world to come. So you like to read about it, study it yourself. I got Bibles, I got New Testaments. I got this here Gospel of John, which I always say is a good place to begin. Can I help you?
Are you freaking out?
I have, yeah. Are you serious? You're coming at me laughing like, you know what I mean? You make me doubt. Are you serious? You're not going to waste it. What are you laughing for? It's a serious business. Read that as well, yeah? Let me show you. You ever read the Bible before? Eh? That's John's Gospel, right? That's the place to begin. Not at the beginning. There. I'll put that in there, read that too. Okay? What's your first name?
Joshua.
Joshua. Nice to meet you, Joshua. Enjoy. So as I was saying, I got Bibles, I got New Testaments, I got this here Gospel of John. Just as I was saying to the young man, this is a good place to begin. If you've never read the Bible before, John's Gospel, here you can read about Jesus, His person, who He is, what He is, what He came for, what He did, and who He did it for a sinner like you. So you like a copy of God's written Word, it's offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you, yours to do with as you will. Take, read, study, meditate upon the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Who knows, maybe God gives you the light you need. Enlighten your mind and reveal the things of Himself and His salvation to you. You got any questions pertaining to these matters? Then feel free to ask away. Try my best to answer your questions. Don't have the answers to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do have the answer to the most important question of them all. One asked by a man in the Bible. He cried out in despair. He said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was given to him clearly, succinctly. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation shall be yours. And maybe, perhaps, I don't know, you're in trouble, distressed, depressed, sick, ill, downcast, troubled, somebody else's troubles, yours. You want somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. Only here to help, point you in the right direction towards God's love, and it's found in Jesus and Him alone. There's no other God but Jesus Christ. Crucified, risen, glorified, ruling and reigning and saving sinners the world over today. I'm not so much sure about Hanley, but maybe today would be your day should you come to Him. So like I say, like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. Got a question, ask it. Want somebody to pray for you, then I'd be more than happy to do that for you also. God is able to answer our prayers, and of course able to do for us way, way past, way beyond what you're able to do for yourself. So listen up to God's Word for you here today, Hanley. We read in God's Word in the Old Testament, His Word for you here today. He asks the question, the prophet, he says, O Lord, why hast Thou made us err from Thy ways and hardened our heart from Thy fear? Surely that's our biggest problem, is it not, in our nation today? Why we're so broken? Why we're in the place that we are in here in the not so great United Kingdom anymore? Because we've erred from God's ways? Because there's no fear of God before our eyes? Surely that's the bottom line. That's the ultimate cause. It's not the politicians or the philosophers or the scientists. It's us, it's we. We've erred from God's ways. And of course, that way is the way down. Down, 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 all the way. And it finishes up in the pit of hell unless we're restored to God's ways. But no fear of God. And of course, you've been inoculated against that, haven't you? You know, in the education system, maybe by family members, maybe by parents, you know, injected with the folly of evolutionary thinking. That nonsense, that unscientific garbage that Darwin popularized some over 100 years ago, and that the majority of you in Hanley today have swallowed it, and so now there's no fear of God, no fear of God before your eyes. That's your problem, Hanley. That's your problem, United Kingdom. No fear of God. Inoculated against it, you know, and then you've got godless religion, atheistic religion. Atheism comes, you know, it comes in different colors, it comes in different dresses, you know. You've got Darwin's variety, you've got, you know, Dawkins's variety, but then you've got the religious kind, Mecca, Rome, and all the cults and sects in between. Religious atheism. Manufactured religion, you know, works, works, works. Do, do, do what our religion tells you to do, and you get God's favor. No, says God, you don't, you won't. Only one way. But of course, bottom line is that there is no such thing as an atheist. They don't exist. That's why I keep saying, you know, to people everywhere I go, I say to them, don't come asking me questions, you know, about the evidence for the existence of God. Bible doesn't even give you that. Bible begins with a statement. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. You don't need evidence for the existence of God. You've got it every time you look in the mirror. Every single morning, you see a man, woman made in the image of God. You see a man, a woman with a conscience in them that testifies with me here today, yes, that there is a God, and you're a morally accountable creature. And one day you will give account to Him. No, all the things that God has made reveals to us reveals to us the divinity of God, His divine being. And then the Bible that He's given to us, not leaving us to our own devices, but giving us this mighty, this great revelation of Himself, where we can learn of what He's like, who He is, what He is, what He has done for us, and how you can get right with Him. So we got no excuse. The Bible says that. No excuse, none whatsoever, for not knowing that God is, and for not knowing Him personally, not knowing Him in love. God so loved the world that He gave the ultimate revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ, His love gift to the world. So loved the world, this bad, evil world, so loved it. Men and women with no fear of God before their eyes, so loved this bad, evil world that in His love, the greatness of His love, He gave His one and only, His only begotten Son, and that up to the death of the cross, to suffer, bleed, and die, and rise again from the dead in order that this forgiveness, salvation might be yours. Through faith, believing, trusting, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those who believe in Jesus, that is. So that's the problem, that's the bottom line. No fear, no fear of God before your eyes. The fear of God's gone. People talk about God, you know, religious people, you know, Mecca, Rome, all of them. They say that they believe in God, yeah, but they live like thieves and beggars. Eh? They say they believe in God, eh? But they go about the world lying through their teeth, blaspheming God's name, cursing and violating their fellow man, bombing, terrorizing and killing in the name of their religions. And they say they believe in God. They're as godless, they're as atheistic as any Darwinian, any evolutionist here this afternoon. No fear. Get the fear of God into you, because He's not only your maker, He's your lawgiver, He's your judge, and one day you're going to stand before Him in judgment. It's appointed, the Bible says, unto man once to die. After that, then comes the judgment. It's not the end, it's not the finish. You stand before God in judgment, and He will judge you. Well, Jesus says, for every idle word that you've spoken, every idle word you've spoken, you give account for in that day, He says. Never mind the bad ones. Never mind the blasphemous ones. Never mind the cursing, swearing. Never mind the ugly ones. Never mind the hurtful ones. Every single one of them you give account for in that day. So listen up, Hamley. Get the fear of God in you. Read God's word. Read about His judgment. Read about His holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And is coming to judge the world in righteousness. Don't you know? God has given notice to the world that He intends to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has raised from the dead, Jesus. Not a dead prophet, a risen Savior. He's coming again and coming soon and coming to judge all civilization in righteousness and perfect righteousness. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day, for judgment day? Get the fear of God in you. Read about His judgment. Read about His holiness. Because I tell you, in that day, if you're not in Christ, trusting in Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in that day He will destroy you to the uttermost, cast you into hell forever. Damnation awaits all who do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His righteousness you need. Because when you stand before God in that day in judgment, one thing and one thing only He'll be looking for. Are you in Christ? Are you in Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, your history, get out of my sight, He'll say, I never knew you. Something to be saved from, Hanley sinners. And this is the love of God that would save you from that end. Save you from such a catastrophic, such a drastic end. appointed, divinely appointed, marked in God's calendar, that day, that hour, that moment when you yourself will breathe your last. Close your eyes in death. Open them the other side, faced with the judge of all the earth, that dreadful, terrible judge, cast you into hell. You need Jesus. I do, yeah.
So it's good.
Alright, okay. Don't mind. Can I invite you to read that as well?
Thank you, my brother.
You find that helpful. Oh,
yeah. Have a good day, yeah.
Are you too, yeah? So as I say, friends, you know, there's something to save from, you know, judgment. It's a reality. But this is the love of God. Like I say, it's not religion. Religion can't save you from the judgment of God. What can a dead prophet do for you? He's dead, moaning in the grave, just like old John Brown. What can he do for you? It's a risen, living Savior you need, who has conquered sin and death and hell, overcome them. And overcome them for every single person, every man, woman, and child who trusts in him, believes into him. They get a pass. They get the victory. They get the conquest over hell, over that judgment that's to come. So what am I telling you these things for? What, to frighten you? Scare you? No. No, you can't scare people into the kingdom of God. You can only enter his kingdom by faith, not by fear. You trust in Jesus. You trust in the one who's done the business, done the dying, taken the hell on the cross, and rose again from the dead, so that that victory over death and hell could be yours too. This is the love of God for you. God loves you, Christ is dead for you, and you take him, you're invited into him, you're invited to take him. He's offered to you. He's a gift. He's the gift of God. And he's offered to you. You take him. You take Jesus. And you get salvation. You get a free pass. The day of judgment. Instead of hearing these words, "Get out of my sight, I never knew you," you hear that welcome voice of Jesus saying to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Faithful because of faith in him. Trusting in him. He has done the business. Nothing for you to do. Doesn't ask you to jump through religious hoops. Doesn't ask you to dress in religious clothes. That's not necessary. Doesn't ask you to do anything religious. Just come to me, says Jesus. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls, peace with God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Just come to me, says Jesus. Come to me, trust in me. Believe in me. Into me, that is. Because that's the only thing that will matter on that day when God judges you, as to whether you are in Christ or out of him. Only in Christ is there safety. But there's your problem, Hanley. There's your problem, United Kingdom of great, not so great Britain. No fear of God before your eyes. That's what the prophet's speaking about here. He asks the question, "Why hast thou made us err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear?" Why? Well, because we've erred from God's ways. But why has God made us do this, he says? Well, because first of all, in the beginning, we departed from God. Man departed from God. Because all the way back to the beginning, the first man, Adam, his name, wasn't just the first man, the head of the entire human race, with a heavy load of responsibility upon him. Because when he disobeyed God's command, it's not just about the eating of a piece of fruit. I know it wasn't an apple. The Bible doesn't say that. But when he disobeyed God's command, he brought sin upon himself and death. Because God says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's exactly what happens, because everything that God speaks happens. When God says something, it happens. And that's what happened to Adam. Your father and my father, the first man and the head of the entire human race, and he brought sin crashing down upon the entirety, all of his posterity, every man, woman, and child. Now, my natural generation is born a sinner in Adam with a sinful nature. Already, even before we've taken our first breath, departed from God, alienated from him and from the life of God. Born into a state of existence, not life, a state of existence, deathly existence. That when you pass from this world, when that comes to an end, 70 years or however many more, then your death just carries on for all eternity. Eternal death. Unless that is, of course, life is injected into you. So, we err from God's ways. First man, Adam. First man. Head of the human race. Natural generation. Conceived in sin in a mother's womb. Born in sin. And live and die in that sin. Erring from God's ways. And you err from God's ways. Well, look at your nation. Have a look at its history, if you will. Look at it over the last 80 years, my lifespan. Down, 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 all the way down. And still going down, still sinking lower and lower by the day. And the only way up is getting into the right way, into God's way, into God's ways. And his ways, well, he's given us here. And of course, it's the measure, it's the standard by which you and I, in that day, of course, are going to be judged. You want a summary? Exodus chapter 20. You've not got a Bible? I'll give you one. Read for yourself and see. 10 commandments, they're called. That's the standard. And all, says God, all, every single one of us, all of us, yourself, myself included, all have sinned and come short of this glorious standard that God has set for humankind. Even religious people, they're not going to pass either. That doesn't give you a pass, man-made religion. So 10 commandments, no other gods before me, says God. That's Jesus Christ, there's no other God but him. And that's a call to all mankind. Not just those who are religious, everybody, every mankind, all mankind, every person born into this world, man, woman, and child, that's a call to faith, to trust in the one who's your maker, your lawgiver, your judge, and the one who would be your savior, should you trust in him. And then all the other commandments, of course. Oh, how to worship God, how he is to be worshipped. And then, of course, well, how we're to treat our neighbor. All these laws, all these commandments given to us for our protection. Not to restrain us, not to take the fun, the joy out of life, but to keep the joy and happiness in life. Thou shalt not commit adultery, to protect our families, human sexuality, to protect our children. Protection, protection. It's the God of love who has given us these commandments. And in love, he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? Because that's not loving your neighbor. And that's the sum of God's commandments. That you should love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, then you don't do the dirty. You don't do the adultery. Thou shalt not kill, protection of human life. Not to spoil our fun, but to protect human life and to protect family life, to protect children, and to protect God's institution of holy matrimony for our protection, for our well-being. So here we are now 80 years on, no fear of God before your eyes. erring from God's ways, from His commandments, from His path of righteousness and wholesome and goodness, and you wonder why things are broken. Huh? This is where all the insanity of your modern day comes from. And when's it going to get better? Well, when you get back into God's ways. When you get back into His love. And that's what we're here for today. His love for you. God loves you. His Son is dead for you. You take Him, you believe in Him, in Jesus Christ, and you get salvation. You get restored to God's way, the way of wholesomeness, the way of happiness, the way of joy, the way of peace, the way of goodness. He is good. He is so good. He is loving, loving kindness. He is mercy. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. There's no good, no life, no love, no goodness apart from God. No real goodness. So the way back, you see, the starting point is coming to His Son, is coming to Jesus Christ, the gift of God. And here's the thing, you know, you look at those commandments, you know, perhaps you peruse them, you know, and you say, well, who on earth could possibly do that? Well, certainly not you. And certainly not I. Not even with the grace of God in me can I do them perfectly. Not by any stretch of the imagination. I still transgress them after 44 years as a Christian. But the starting place is God's forgiveness for our sinful natures in which we're conceived and born, and a change of those natures. That old contempt, you know, Jesus puts it this way, He says you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, perceive it, understand it, get it, you know, grasp it. But when God comes to you and puts His life into your soul, pours His love into your heart, switches the light on, you begin to understand, you begin to get it, you begin to see your sin, that you've offended His love and sinned against His light, you've erred from His ways, but you see Jesus. You see Jesus, a Savior, one who can save you from all this, one who can restore you and bring you back into God's ways. And that's what the gospel's all about. And only the God, I tell you, nothing else in all this world, I tell you, no philosophy of man, no religion of man can do this. Only what God does, what God has accomplished in His Son Jesus Christ alone will stand the test of time and eternity. But nothing else, I tell you, this broken world and all its troubles, the Middle East, Gaza and Israel, what's the problem there? Two factions, religion. The Gazites, one brand of religion. Israel, another brand of religion that has rejected its Messiah. Warring factions, and the war will just go on and on and on. So what's the answer? The answer is God's love in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer for Afghanistan. It's the answer for Iraq. It's the answer for Iran. It's the answer for the United Kingdom of not so great Britain. Gospel's the only cure. God's love, transforming power of God's love. And the greatness, the generosity of that love. Give, because He's a giving God and loves to give. So loved this evil, bad world under the sway that lieth under the power of wickedness, says God. But God hasn't given it up, Hanley. God hasn't given it up. God's going to mend it. God's going to make it all new and shiny again. But the inhabitants then will only be those who are righteous. And righteous how? Not by religion, not by good works, but by trusting in God's gift, taking, receiving God's gift, His only begotten Son, Jesus. You take Him and you get the righteousness of God. You know, Jesus, you take your sin to Him, you give them to Him, and He takes them far, far away, and He gives you His righteousness and gives you the grace, the enabling to walk in the path of righteousness, that way from which man has erred long, long ago and continues so to do today. Man's responsibility. And of course, when you err from God's ways and you begin to walk in the course of this world, then of course you find yourself, your heart's hardening all the time. The more and more you sin, the harder you become. More and more you give yourself over to sin, the harder your heart becomes, harder, unbelieving, cynical. The older you get too, the more cynical you become, more unbelieving, hardness of heart, that hardness of heart that goes about the world, killing one another, violating one another, doing the unclean. One answer, Hanley, one answer alone, and that's God's ways. That's God's way of righteousness through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to save sinners. That's what we all be. You yourself, myself, none excluded. All sinned and come short of the glory of God. But today, today salvation is set before you. Jesus Christ is offered to you, you take Him, the free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I declare to you today. You take Him as your Savior and your Lord. You come to Him that way in faith, trusting in Him, His person, and what He has done, His dying, His rising, alive and alive forevermore. Conquered, victory's already won over sin and death and hell. You take Him and you get His victory. His victory becomes yours. You take Him and you get salvation. You get life, life eternal. You get a pass on the day of judgment when He judges you for your sins, when He judges us all. So there's urgency. There's urgency, Hanley, because, you know, there's none of us knows the day or the hour. What if God was to require your soul tonight? What if God was to call you, take you out of the world tonight? Where? It's an old question, but it's still a valid one. Where would you spend eternity? Well, without Christ, without Jesus, the answer to that question is horrifying. Wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Here to tell you about God's love and how you can enter into God's love, how you can experience His love, how you can be brought not into slavery, bondage that religion brings you into, but into a relationship with God as your Father, you as His child, protected and looked after, provided for all the rest of your days. And then at the last, even at the last, as you pass through death itself into heaven's glory and to be with a heavenly Father for all eternity. That's the deal. That's the gospel. Only the gospel can give you that. Only Jesus Christ can give you that. You take Him and you get it all. You take Him, you get God's salvation, God's redemption, restored to the right path, the right way, walking in the fear of God, trusting Him, the end of your days. So, Hanley, you'd like a copy of God's Word, still got one Bible left. New Testament, got here this Gospel of John, a good place to begin if you've never read the Bible before. Offered to you freely, no cost. no obligation to you, none whatsoever. You like one, you come and ask for one. Gladly, freely place into your hands. You got a question, feel free to ask away. Like somebody pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. Only here to help point you in the right direction, and there's only one of those. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ, I commend him to you. He's a lovely, wonderful Savior, saved to the uttermost all who come to God by him. May God bless you, Hanley, and have mercy, mercy, I say, upon your precious, precious, never dying soul.